get on that.
I've noticed since I've had to overhydrate how it feels if I don't. I may be doing the recording. Okay. We are just a few seconds off now. I'm waiting for my phone to do. Thanks, Nick. Okay, it is the 6 o'clock hour, so we will call this meeting to order. Welcome, everyone. Thank you for coming out this evening. We're glad the weather's a little bit better than it was last meeting. All right. Welcome to the HOA board meeting for Cedar Highlands. We are establishing that there is a quorum in attendance tonight. A quorum for our board is 3 of the 5 members. Board member Lori Silva is home ill. She said that she may be able to log on Zoom to listen in, but I told her if you're not feeling well, don't feel obligated to try to actually attend through Zoom. And so I think we'll be okay there. We've got the 3 of us to try to get the work done for this evening. Approval of the agenda. Are there any items that need to be added to the agenda before we move on with the work this evening?
Not from my end.
I'm good.
Okay. I have one under consent. I apologize. It's my fault, but I failed to list. I had them in time. I just didn't remember to do it. I want to list a letter EFGH, and that'll be approval of the minutes from the February 8th meeting. Okay. And if there's nothing else to add to the agenda, then I would accept a motion to approve the agenda as amended. So moved.
Second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries. All right, the agenda set. We're going to start public comment. I want to make a couple of remarks as we open the floor for public comment in response to feedback that we received after our last meeting. Both from members who spoke here and then additional follow-up information that I received. And it was questioning as a board and probably more specifically me as the presiding officer how we were going to structure and monitor, if you will, public comment. If you'll remember, we set up the public comment section as a discretionary decision that was made by this board. So we want to try to hear from the community. We want that information to be channeled through our public comment section. But if you adhere strictly to our CC&Rs and our bylaws, just for clarification, this is a meeting of the HOA board in public. It is not a public HOA board meeting. Make sense? So as such, what our bylaws and our CC&Rs say is that no one speaks or addresses or converses or discusses with the board. This is a discussion of the board that we as community members get the opportunity to observe. We do have the ability, if we choose to, by a majority vote of the board up here on any particular item to vote in favor of opening the floor and then being able to ask a particular question of someone in the audience or take a particular comment if it's appropriate at that time. Other than that, the reason we set up the public comment section was a courtesy on our part so that community members didn't have to feel like they were tongue-tied out here. If you do have an issue that's HOA business, this is the right place to try to ask questions and address the board about that issue. Remember, when we're giving public comment to the board, you're up here speaking to the board. With all due respect, you all aren't each other's audience. And so it's more appropriate if comments are directed to the board. When we're taking public comment, we listen, we don't react, we don't speak. We're going to be making some notes. When all the public comment is done, board members will have an opportunity to make remarks in response. After that, we are not going to take anybody raising their hand or shouting out. And that comes as a request from folks who have participated in the meetings, the last few meetings, and a desire for us to run the public comment section the way it was designed to be run. The last thing I would say is it's an opportunity to come and address the board on matters of association business. If you have a complaint, a critique, an argument, a concern with a fellow community member, somebody that you want to make accusations towards or whatever, that's your private business. That's not HOA board business. So we encourage you to call each other, talk to each other privately, but if you have problems with each other, you sort those out outside of the HOA setting. We're here to address items of business for the Homeowners Association. And then finally, just to keep us on track, I've been lenient these first couple of meetings because we did have a fairly traumatic transition, and I know it's important to give people time to breathe and speak, but we've done that. So there's been a little bit of extra time afforded to folks to both speak and then rebut if they'd like. So we feel like that, especially related to matters that have already transpired in the past, is over. And I don't want you to be upset or grumpy with me, but I'm going to stick to the 3-minute timer. And if the discussion through public comment starts to point at other individuals or call them out in any way, I'm going to stop that as well and just ask you to please sit down. And I say all of that up front so that no one gets upset if that actually has to happen. And I won't be upset either, but I have to do that. Okay. We're all good on that?
Yes, sir.
Do we have anyone who'd like to address the board tonight through public comment? We have Deb Hartman. Is there anyone else who is anticipating speaking before the board tonight, just so we know how many folks we have? I can't see you, sir. I'm sorry.
Dave Henners.
Oh, Dave, okay.
Not a public comment.
No, I gotcha.
So Kathy, she's right there in front of Chad.
Okay. Others?
Yeah.
Linford? Okay. All right, we'll start with our first request for public speaking.
You put me up there.
Well, or at least stand up there. Yeah. We want you to be in shot of the mic so that you can give us your name and your address.
All right, that's Deborah Hartman. I'm in block 12, lots 3 and 4. Thank you, Stan. I appreciate it.
Is that the street address, Deb?
2285 South Ohio Drive.
There we go. Thank you.
Okay, all right. So this is just a question I had. This is, you and I have corresponded back in October, I think it was, and this was on the culvert on Cedar Highlands and High Aspen. And I just wanted to ask, the work has been completed, and I wanted to ask who paid for that repair work. Was it actually taken from our dues, or was it a lot owner's responsibility, and they actually paid?
Which culvert? Yeah, you're talking about a cross-section that I'm sorry, I can't locate in my mind. But
it's in High Aspen and Cedar Highlands.
The Zackies.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. No. Gotcha.
Okay. I didn't want to say names, but, you know.
No, that's okay. Okay.
So the question is, who actually paid for the repairs on it? The stakes, the rocks, the work, all that that was done.
Okay.
Did it come out of our dues?
Okay. What else?
That's it. Thank you.
Okay.
See how well I behave?
Good. Yeah, as soon as everyone's done speaking, then we'll go back and we'll give our
all
responses.
All right, well,
Thank you. Deb. Okay. Now, Linford, I might ask if you would go next, because Dave, I think you're here to talk about your particular action item, correct?
Well, I'm here for a hearing, not a public.
Our public comment section is for public comment, but when we get to the item that you're concerned about, we will open the floor through board action for a hearing.
Thank you.
And that'd be an opportunity for you to address us.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So then, this would be your opportunity, Linford.
Okay.
You don't have to change seats. You're close enough.
Yeah. My name is Linford Nelson. I live at 890 South 1750 West in Cedar City.
Okay.
I've got a couple of things here. First of all, I'm paying my dues.
Thank you.
I paid the Homeowners Association about over $15,000 this year, and I don't live in that.
But it's for each of the lots that you own, correct?
Yes. Uh-huh. And there's some impact fees that I need to pay. A couple of things that I need to ask the board is, first of all, the impact fees. In the beginning, when your people's house was built, there was no impact fees, I don't believe.
Mine was built in 2002, well before I moved here. So I mean,
back in the days, there was no impact fees and no $1,000 non-refundable. And I guess if people like you didn't pay, why do you expect people in the future to pay for the impact fees? And I think the impact fees are a little bit excessive, from $1,000 to $3,000, and then now I think you're going to try and raise them to $12,000.
Ten,
okay. So, but you add all them up, it's going to be what, $14,000?
About that, yeah.
Okay. $14,000 is pretty excessive. And I don't think it's right for the board to assess these fees when they didn't pay in back in the beginning when you were building their houses. When people were building their houses, it was the same wear and tear on the road as it is now. Another thing is I got this information here from Stan, I believe, as to wanting to me to withhold my...
That's the certified mail?
Yeah. What I'd like you to do is I'd like to have you look at it before you make a decision. I'd like you to talk to your counsel and say, first of all, is it fair? Second of all, is it legal? And then another thing is, this is something that somebody probably didn't want to come and give to you people, but I'm most afraid to give it to you. That's just information here. Back to the dues that I paid. The Homeowners Association owes me a $3,000 thing from many years ago that I haven't got received. They owe me some credits that I was overpaid that I didn't ever get credit for, you know. And I thought in the past you people would just deduct it from the bill that you sent me, but it didn't happen until then for some reason. And then the next thing is, when I talked to Mike Rast on the occupancy, on the getting my refund back on two homes that I've already completed, he says what I need to do is present him with some occupancy permits, which I didn't know where that came about, but I did present him with the occupancy permits, and he said I'd give him money back when I got the occupancy permits. Now, I know that he's no longer the president of the board, but that's what he said when he was acting president.
Okay.
Another thing I need to ask you is, you know, you're in negotiation with Beehive.
Yes.
I'd caution you to be real careful.
Okay.
And I don't know if you've seen the letter, the other board's seen it, but in 1998 they trespassed on my property for about 3 miles. And they won't answer the letter. I mean, I gave them the letter the other day when we were here. They don't seem to be concerned about it. So I'm asking to protect the community, make sure that you have everything covered when you're dealing with them people.
Were they... Okay, I'll ask you some questions if that's all you got.
And, if you could please, whoever's in charge of the paying me, I paid my bills on time, would you please pay me the money that you owe me for the back, overpaid, and for several years ago, or a few years ago, when I didn't get my $3,000 back. It doesn't pertain to these three right here. But most important, please review this real good. Say if your counsel find out it's legal what you're doing. And you need to let me know pretty quick, because if I can't build in the winter, then the $1,200,000 home that I'm building, I've got to shut it down Monday morning if I can't build in the winter. Okay.
Okay. You good?
Yeah, that's good.
All right. Well, let's work backwards then. We'll start with you because you're sitting here. Respond as much as we can, and then we'll work on responding to Deb as well. So to your first issue, Linford, we have conferred with our legal resources.
Okay.
And if you look at our CC&Rs and the sections were cited for you in the documentation that was provided for you, what we're doing is legal. And it's pretty much in accordance with exactly how it's worded in the CC&Rs. So what it says, and I'm paraphrasing, but if you read it, there's more details attached to this. It says that we strongly discourage any construction during the wet months. If you decide to come up during the wet months, and the association assesses at the completion of a project that there were damages or impact on the roads or the common areas throughout the course of your construction, they may withhold all or part of that impact fee. So the dilemma we faced after the winter 1 year ago, 22-23, we're now 23-24, is that we all witnessed, I think, during that record-setting winter, how badly the roads were impacted by that winter. It was certainly traffic from the community driving up and down, but it was also And we all know that's the reason it's in the construction requirement documents. We all know that when we're pulling up trucks and trailers and construction equipment during those same wet months, we're doing additional damage to the roads. And there's no denying that during that period of time, particularly the two properties you have on High Juniper, you were up there regularly. And that's okay. But what we assessed at the end of all that, because most builders, Linford and Roger Thomas and others, they will make an effort to clean up the road in front of where they were. But what we recognized once we ended up paying all the bills for the year, and we were over budget by about $37,000, the majority of that was excess revenue we had to put into the roads. What we realized at that point is that we had no way of recovering the cost of that loss. Not all of it, for sure. But we had one opportunity for those builders or lot owners. In Limford's case, he's both, the lot owner and the builder. You have the opportunity to not come up during those wet months, which would lessen the possibility of that much damage and impact. If you agree to do that, it's pretty clear to us in the CCNRs and to our legal reference that you understand if the association assesses some damage that's been done to the roads, and that's the cause for them withholding your impact fee, then that's the reason that it would take place. So we didn't do it willy-nilly. We're all on the same side here. We don't like doing this. This isn't anything we're having any fun with. I'm like Tom, me personally. My house was built before I got here, but it was 2017. So it was recent, and they probably paid some impact fees by that time. But we're not doing anything other than what's spelled out in our CC&Rs. And so I'm happy to take a look at everything that you've provided us. But just looking at your checklist here, the other thing, and this may affect a little bit Mr. Hinner's remarks as well, but there's no, in the CC&Rs, and I just reread them 3 hours ago, there's no reference to what the criteria are for the association to define damage. And so what we've always done is we've assumed that we're going to either assess a particular builder or a lot owner because we see that person and we see it that day and we call it out that day. But then you have to get into a system where you have enough resources to monitor who's coming up and down the hill, which lot owner is it, which builder is it, and is it their truck, their trailer? We're not in the business of that level of monitoring or collecting license plates or anything like that. So the other option was to just work from historical data or an aggregate and look over the last 10 years at not only the wear and tear on the roads, but also how our HOA budget has been increased substantially to take care of the roads. And the fact that there's so much more building going on now should make sense that that's going to make a difference from when we were building 10 years ago or 15 years ago when maybe one lot owner was dragging stuff up and down the hill. Now we've got four or five homes going on simultaneously all during the wet months. So we're all in some new territory here. The weather and the conditions of the mountain are not new for you at all, Linford, but having 50-plus full-time residents now and the amount of building that's going on, you have to admit, is a lot more than what was happening in the past, concentrated during a short period of time. So that's basically the rationale for what's been recommended. We have on tonight's agenda action items that would result in the HOA looking at the homes that were under construction during the wet months of 22-23 and 23-24 and treating them all the same by recognizing through the aggregate that the road damage was substantial. The overrun on our budget was $37,000. This, in effect, if you look at the wording in our CC&Rs, is reimbursing the association for the damage that was done. And finally, we'll have a lot owner or a builder share with us that they did a lot of work in the front of the street where they live. They recrowned it. They put in culverts. They took care of everything out in front, and that's great. That's what a lot owner's builder should be doing. But that's the street in front of your house. That doesn't count that main road. And there's no amount of money we could withhold from any of you to recover what it took us to get the 17% grade treated after the winter of 22-23. So it's the whole ride up there, and then it's our auxiliary roads, and then the other thing that happened, and we witnessed it this morning on our walk, people driving out of their areas, is people will oftentimes from the street that they live on pull out and take an alternate route to get down to the main road rather than drive down the road that they're on. And when that was happening on High Oak during 2022, it was so bad down in that dip, we had a number of people driving through High Juniper to get to their properties as opposed to going down the road that was tore up. What did that do? It tore up High Juniper more. And it's not their fault. Everybody's going to try to take the best route they can to get in or out. But by the work on the roads happening the way that it did and the deterioration happening the way that it did, it made it so that people sought out different routes, and then that just spread around the damage even more.
Excuse me, it was High Oak, High Cedar View you meant, not High Oak.
Okay.
The road behind us.
Oh, yeah, that's actually my road, yeah. But it just turns. Okay.
It's High Cedar View. I call it Upper High Cedar and Lower now.
Very good.
To try and keep it straight.
Tom and Patty, you guys want to add anything just in response to Limford's questions?
Well,
No, hold on. Let Tom do his thing.
No, I recognize that. Yeah, I didn't pay an impact fee.
Yeah.
But I also didn't build.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know that the homeowner before me didn't build. It was two before me, and I have no idea what happened in 2002. So I understand that. Yeah, I didn't pay an impact fee. But I didn't buy a lot and build a house either. And the more that we're seeing that, the increased traffic, the increased amount of people up there, I mean, we've got to do something.
I have a whole box file now dedicated to this. And each property with files, I was coming through with their own file. I was coming, and I found a whole lot of paperwork that needed to be organized, so I just stuck it in a file and named it. So I'm almost positive that they did pay those impact fees. Back in 2005 and 2007, there's some people up at the top and one about the middle that have commented to me that they still are owed $3,000 from back in 2007, which I have no records of.
Okay.
So now, regarding you personally and specifically, I'm doing an audit on this, Linford, because... And I know it's confusing, and when we sent these invoices out, we crossed our fingers, okay? But what it did say, if you read and you had to read a lot, there was a lot of information there, it said, please pay by the statement. And all of these are your invoices, which is true. They're all invoiced in the system for $840. But when you look at the statement, it shows other things applied. So, for example, right here's an audit I'm doing on yours. And it was $840 for those... five. Here you show a credit of 160. Here you show you only owe 640. Here it's 590. Here it's 640. Here it's 780. And then 840, 840. So I am doing an audit on just your stuff to get this straightened out. Okay?
So there's two.
So you may have overpaid now with this, is what I'm saying. Yeah. Because right here you're showing a credit under lot 0416. And here, so it was misapplied. There were things that were misapplied. In prior accounting,
yeah,
from a year ago,
or more. Yeah, we're still finding stuff in the area of treasurer that's 4, 5, 6 years old, predates anybody that's been on the board in the last couple of years, and then whatever's happened the last couple of years.
And then I noted your past 3K as well, so not forgotten. Okay.
So there's two decisions we're contemplating on Limford's presentation. One is for whatever correction he's due based on the payments from the past that have not been properly entered,
yes,
and accounted for. The other is the action on withholding the currently withholding the impact fee on the three properties he's built and is building because of the impact on the roads over the last 18 months. So there's two decisions there.
Yeah.
Anything else? Do we want to open the floor and let Limford make his comments? or do we want to respond to Deb and then carry on with the meeting?
It's a good question. I mean, can we put a third option? You can respond to Deb and then open the floor for Linford and then continue with the meeting?
Absolutely. Or open the floor for Linford again at the end so that everybody doesn't need to stay here any longer.
That's your vote.
So, okay. So we'll take an opportunity to hear and see what else you've got, Linford. Let me go back to your question, Deb. I know you know a little bit of the history on this, but the culvert that you're talking about, in my mind, I recognized as the Zaki's property. They don't live here full time, and so during the summer there was a problem with their culvert. Their culvert had been clipped by the plow blade of Pierce Construction and damaged, and the damage to their culvert was impacting the main road and where the water drained and how it went across that main road. So roads, and Rick can help us if I don't get this exactly right, but roads committee had a vendor available. They were up on the mountain providing services to another property owner. And in talking to them, they were willing to come down and do the work to fix that culvert. We didn't have the property owner on site. They live out of town, so we had to call. After calling and engaging with the property owner, the recommendation from the roads committee was, if we agree to partner with these people to fix this, our plow vendor hit their culvert, and that caused the damage. And so we negotiated with them, what if we figure out what this is going to cost, and then we share those costs 50-50. Lot owner pays half of the cost, the association will pay half of the cost. That was our acceptance of the fact that our vendor hit their culvert and caused the damage. Now, if Mike Brask were here and still serving on the board, he would remind us that the board did have a discussion about that culvert. And the board felt like, or at least the president at that time, felt like it should be the homeowner's responsibility, particularly because they didn't have the snow poles marking where the edge of the driveway was. And so that was some responsibility on their part. And so the board's first reaction to them was, you go back to your contractor and you guys work out how to fix this culvert. Well, again, property owner doesn't live here. It's not a big deal to them right now to get in and out of their property. But the ones we felt like, the ones that weren't going to benefit at all from that, would be the rest of us, because their damaged culvert was also impacting the main road. And that main road's going to end up being our responsibility. So we felt like a 50-50 split with them and an investment was fair. It got their culvert fixed. We accepted a little responsibility for our plow vendor. Our road got fixed for the rest of the community, and they made a contribution to pay based on the fact they didn't have their snow poles up and all of that. So in making that decision, that was actually part of the drama. We did a vote, took action on that without a meeting. So we did a vote, and the vote was 4-1 in favor of the roads committee's recommendation. So we contacted the property owner and we moved forward. It originally was going to be about $1,700. I think it ended up being closer to $3,000. And so it was still split 50-50. And the direct answer to Deb Hartman's question is, the association paid our share of that, our 50% of that. I suspect the reason she may be asking the question is that during the exchange between Mike and I at the time, when Mike was upset that that vote had passed, and he didn't feel like the association needed to spend their money on that kind of an agreement, it had already been voted on 4-1 and passed. And so I said, look, if the board's concern is the eight, at that time it was going to be half of 17, the $850, I'll pay it myself. And so I left that out there. Then later we had the snafu. I resigned. this board moved on, and then I made my way back. So that's the story. I mean, there's no more to it than that. If you were to bump into our former president, it might be his opinion that I should still pay that $850. But I would have done that had the board took action and said, yeah, you go ahead and pay it. The board didn't do that. But I offered if that was going to be the main concern, because I felt it was the most fair agreement to reach with that property owner based on the details I just shared with you.
It was also estimated that if we didn't take care of the problem then, it would end up costing us a whole lot more in taking care of the whole street.
Right.
Rather than just that little section.
The main road was our key concern. And whatever our half of that was, $1,500, it may have been much more than that to repair our road if we would have just let it go. And there wasn't much we could do to chase a property owner who lives, you know, out of state. So that's how that went down. Now I'll make a motion to open the floor for another few minutes so that Linford can present his information. Do I have a second for that?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
I shouldn't take much time. It says in the CCRs here, the vehicle belonging to a property owner, contractor, subcontractor, or labor force substantially damages the subdivision roads from normal wear. The property owner is responsible for the repair. If I would have known I damaged the road, I would have repaired it myself, and I could repair it a lot cheaper than what you're charging me to repair, because I have the equipment, all the equipment repaired. And it seems strange that all of a sudden, after 2 years, you know, when I finished that house, after 2 years, then you're saying, hey, we're going to hold back your money. And when the president of the board, which represents the board, said, all you got to do is get your occupancy permit, we'll give your money back. I provided you the occupancy permit. The reason I didn't get the money back is I thought you would give it credit for when I paid my dues.
Right. So, thank you for that additional information, Linford. Appreciate it. I can't speak for the past president, only other than to say it was a little presumptuous of him. It wasn't uncharacteristic, but it was a little presumptuous to be able to have the authority to tell you that directly without it being an action taken by the board. And then your certificate of occupancy certificates here, though, are important. We'll take those into consideration. It was still a verbal agreement that he gave you. We've been enduring some sins of father's past. This may be another one that we deal with. But we're sensitive to the concerns you're raising. And the only reason we didn't call it out at the moment is because, as you say, if you're notified, you can fix the road. You did help fix the piece of high juniper in front of the two houses that you worked on. But we don't know how individual lot owners help us with the main road. We don't know how you help us with the 17 grade and with all the other damage that happened. And so we want to keep our authority within what's right in front of the house. That's the opportunity you have to fix that. And then to get to that location, all of our lot owners and builders have to travel up the common roads.
Just one last comment. I don't know if I can speak.
Go ahead, and then we'll close
it down. I paid $15,000. I don't live there. Don't go up there every day. I paid $15,000 last year. You probably paid $860 or whatever the amount was. Is it fair for me to pay that much money when you pay $860?
Well, I don't own 13 lots.
Well,
you're paying per lot.
Yeah, but the thing of it is people are not using the lots. People are not using it. I'm talking about the actual use of the road.
Right, but that's not.
Can use the road more than Stan can.
But that's not how our CCNRs are written, Linford. You know that.
Yeah.
You know that. It's a worthy effort to make that point, but you're paying more because you own more lots.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll let that sit, and we got to keep on moving now.
No,
I'm sorry, Jeff. We can't. I have to start saying no, or else I'm gonna. Oh,
at the end,
I could get fired.
At the end,
maybe I'll let him.
It's just a comment, just to make somebody aware.
Okay, we're going on to consent agenda.
Okay.
We have Tractor Works. This is a list of the items we've paid since the last meeting or that needed to be paid prior to the time the agenda was printed. Okay, yeah. And then we added to that the February 8th minutes. So just real quick for the record, Tractor Works monthly staging fee is $6,500. Tractor Works monthly service fee, $6,378.37. American Insurance premiums, $8.38. Simple Texting subscription, GoDaddy, Image Pro, Western Legacy Accounting is the CPA who's helping us unravel the mysteries of our treasurer work. And so those are the items before us on the consent agenda.
And approval of the February 8th.
And the February 8th minutes.
Yep.
Do I have a motion to accept and approve the items on consent?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries. Okay, action item. Oh, shoot, I did have minutes on there. Well, we don't have to do the minutes. I normally put them on consent. I must have moved them down. Okay, treasurer, monthly action on all financials and approval to pay the bills.
So, let's see. Our beginning balance, because we're always a month behind, so this is for February. Our beginning balance was $13,497.84. We had, in deposits, we had $43,952.44. Withdrawals, $26,28.10. A balance of $36,822.18 at the end of February. Now, but currently what I always do is I go to the bank and I find out what the current statement is, and so that we know what's in our checkbook right now tonight or yesterday, it is our current balance is $69,410.80 with all these consent bills that were paid in both February and March. February after our last meeting and March before this meeting. So there's our balance, 69,410.80. And the withdrawals that we've had is the Intuit for 6387, Sunrock, some which I reported on consent agenda last month. It is 360.04 for some gravel. It is some glue and materials, 2232 from Hearst. The simple texting, we increased the amount that we needed per year. We went from 6,000 figures to 12,000, and it was a deal to do that. So anyway, 322. Image Pro printing for members info list for the purpose of invoicing the dues, $9.81. Our GoDaddy SSL annual, $99. Our American Family Mutual, we've been paying increments, and now we've paid this was the increment of $109.17, and then in the consent agenda, what you just heard was the final payment of that whole amount, now that we have some funds in here. Okay, the checks that were paid out were to Tractor Works at $6,500. Now this is back in February, okay, and then our staging fee was $12,000, so we had $18,000 paid out on road work last month. Then the accounting was $675 and our annual post office box renewal $200. And that was all the activity that took place last month. And then let's see here. Our CDs are now matured, and so we are going to roll those over. And we had interest on that of $2,500 for the remaining, and prior to that, we had another about $1,600. So those are doing pretty good. And it's a good thing we have that, because we're going to need it when it comes time to repair the road from the winter and then also from monsoons. We'll probably end up using most of this. Okay, I think that's about it on that. Yes, we have no bills to approve right now.
So okay. Motion to accept the treasurer's report.
And I will second that. All in favor? Signify by saying aye.
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 Okay. All right. Now, letter C under action items, reimbursement from lot owners constructing new homes and relative to road damage repairs. This is exactly what we were just discussing with Linford, and this is the point in the agenda where I would like to make a motion that we open the floor to Dave Hinners so that he has an opportunity to have a public hearing before the board and express his concerns. Dave Hinners is also one of the folks who has built up here And so, as I said earlier, we're treating all of the builders the same in this period of time and for this purpose. So I'll make a motion that we open the floor for David.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, Mr. Henners, you can stand and make your...
Well, I'll be more happy to come up there.
Okay.
I want to make sure that I'm close enough to the mic for you.
Thank you. And just the street address to the house as well.
Yeah, my name is David Henners. I live at 2077 High Cedar View Drive. This is not how I wanted to meet the association. I expected to come last month. Unfortunately, I was out of town. I do want to state, just take a few minutes so everybody will, since I am new to the organization or the neighborhood, I'm sure only a couple people that have met me before don't have any of that clue who I am or anything about me. So I just... Give me 2 seconds to give me a break. Wife and I just moved here from Wichita, Kansas, where I've lived most of my life. I'm a retired police officer, did 20 years with the local Wichita Police Department. I retired a little over 6 years ago. In that capacity, for about 10 years, I was a community policing officer, where I got to go to a lot of these meetings and give advice on criminal activities, law, those kind of things, along with a lot of other gun fun stuff. Prior to retiring, I got the opportunity to go to work for a nonprofit organization that assists law enforcement as one of their national trainers. I worked for that organization since 2004. When I retired, I came onto that nonprofit as their executive director, and I've been their executive director the last 6.5 years. During that time as the executive director for a mid-sized, I guess you want to call it, nonprofit, I had the fun of dealing with contracts, negotiations for fundraising organizations, negotiations with insurance, building hires, insurance for officers. Had to make the decision, do we want to make sure that we have kidnap insurance? No, all the guys that work for me carry guns. I'm not too worried about it. When we moved out here, and my wife and I purchased the land in December of 2018, because we planned on starting building into 2019. As you all know, COVID hit, prices went up. So we waited. During that time, right as we started this, one of the things we had to sign prior to the Homeowners Association allow us to build was the owner's construction requirements, right here. So my wife and I signed it in 2022. We broke ground on our house in Halloween of 2022, and there was construction in our house for November and December. That was it. As you all know, we weren't here, but my wife and I kept very close eye on the weather here, because you guys got the highest, my understanding, the highest rain and snow you've had in 40 years, right?
State history.
Yeah. And my wife and I want to apologize. We figured it's our fault. We broke ground, and a month later it started snowing. So we apologize for that. So, according to the letter that I got, and I'm sure this gentleman here got the same one, it states in there that they're going to be using an aggregate system, basically stating that if, and tell me if I'm incorrect on this, that if you were doing any kind of construction or had a construction permit during this time period, they're going to find you at fault for damage to the roads. Well, as I said, I've done a lot of work with law enforcement, done a lot of work with law. The same thing I signed does not state that. There was nowhere in there that says anything about aggregate. Lump this all together. The only word, one time I've ever heard aggregate used in law was basically an individual or group of individuals grouped together as one entity. Well, I'm not a one entity with this gentleman that built a house. I built my house. It's all I built was my house. I'm responsible for the construction crew that built my house, not anybody else's house. Nothing like that. So as the builder, who is Choice Builders, who has built a few homes up there, built his own home up there, I'm pretty sure he's well aware of what it takes to build a home up there. So I asked him to send me the building construction that was done during the wet periods. As I said, we broke ground on Halloween. November and December, we were up. They were up there excavating, trucks up there, everything like that. At around the end of December, all construction of my property ceased. There was no construction of my property in January, no construction of my property in February. There was one time in March, the excavator went up there one day, and I think it was to go get his excavator because it was stuck up there. No anything in, let's see, April, May, they didn't start construction until June. So the only construction that went on during that period was in November and December. During that time, I also asked them to ask, did Choice Builders or me do any or pay any, for any repairs to the roadway up? Yes. 11/18, 12/15, and 12/22, Choice Builders paid for the salt truck from the water tank all the way up to Cedar High, High Cedar View, and job sites on South High Mountain View Drive. Wife and I paid $2,025 for them to pay to have that done. That came out of our building. So we paid to help the roads fixed during the time period that we were actually up there and could have caused any damage to the roads. The only construction we did in this winter is in November. There was a couple times up there at the very end, and they turned our house over to us on November 14th. Since then, we've had no construction. So I get this letter stating that the board wants to withhold $3,000 due to damage to the road. Let me read something from the thing I had to sign before I was allowed even to build. This is the second paragraph of the owner's construction requirements. The board notifies you that the new or subsequent construction activity by a property owner or property owner's agent or construction will be monitored by the ARC for compliance and the CCRs and the construction requirements listed herein. Property owners are advised to become familiar with the CCRs provision as well as the additional requirements listed. Furthermore, the property owner is sufficiently advised the rules, provision, and requirements of the CCR restriction will be strictly enforced, with the property owner being promptly notified of any complaint or noncompliance and correction activity, if any, to be taken, as well as a date which must be completed. I was supposed to be notified if there was any issues with noncompliance or compliance. My wife had never received a certified letter from the board, or a letter, a text, an email, a letter, you know, flying from outside, that there was any problem. Let's see here. Failure to comply with notice and complaints results loss of the portion of the construction deposit. If necessary, notice of noncompliance place property owners sufficient. Basically, it'll let us know. If the property owner fails or otherwise refuses to take necessary correction action after receiving notice, I never received notice, so how was I supposed to undertake any correction? Then the association may levy fines or perform necessary maintenance repairs. So then, after I've been given notice, again, I was never given notice of any damage to the roads. Any time that we were up there, construction was done, they did replace those roads. In section 9, the same thing that I had to sign. It states again that they will send me a notice of any complaint. Did I ever get a notice of complaint?
Yeah, you're reading from it.
No, I'm reading from the thing I had to sign.
But your document that you got is the certified. As we said in our email exchange, Dave, the document you received. The document you received is the notification. This is your opportunity for a hearing to appeal.
When notice of a complaint and rules violation, when an infraction of any of these rules is observed and reported to the ARC chairman, the property owner would be notified of the infraction in a letter sent by certified mail. The property owner would be given specific date and time period within which to rectify the infraction. Failure to do so will be grounds with failure to do so will be grounds to withhold a portion of property's refund deposit. Was I given a chance to rectify any of the issues?
No.
Why was I not given a chance? Does it say in here that I was just given a chance to rectify the issues?
Yes, of course.
Was I given a chance to rectify the issues?
Not completely.
Say right here. It says in here.
First of all, we don't want to be argumentative. I'm saying it as I respond to you. I'm front loading right now. If I try to justify the research that we've done, I'm not being argumentative. I'm just trying to give you the perspective from where we sit, Dave. That's all.
Okay. So my perspective is this is a contract between me and the homeowners association. I'm responsible according to this to my builder, not his builder, not even my builder's building another building.
Right.
It is damage done by my builder. What did my builder do when coming to my property damage any of the roads?
Every builder that came up.
Including yours.
Builder
when?
Came up in November and December.
And we fixed the roads in November and December.
No.
Yes.
No, you put some salt down.
I paid $2,000.
Your choice. Your choice. You put salt down. The HOA didn't call and ask you to do any of that.
So it's pretty nice of us, wasn't it?
If you needed to do that to get to your property, but salt, remember, is going to help traction on the snow. That doesn't do anything for the damage that happens with the rutting and the mud.
Then why wasn't I not given a letter, certified letter, at that time to correct that?
Because we wait until the project is complete.
No, that's not what it says. Any infraction will be sent a letter.
At completion.
Then how am I supposed to rectify the problem if I don't have it that time? Come on, man. Be serious.
I am. I'm following what we have written.
No, you're not.
Oh, okay.
I am supposed to get a certified letter of any infraction so I can rectify that infraction, correct?
Correct.
Was I given a chance to rectify that infraction?
Not in front of your house because you did that. So this is...
It doesn't say in front of my house. Right. It says any infraction. Does it not say any infraction? You've read it.
Yes.
Was I given any notice other than the one that basically says we're going to take the money from you?
This was the notice because the decision was made at the end of construction based on the impact of the entire road system.
Now, what did my builder do?
Came up to 17.
At what time?
During November and December.
And, okay.
Those are the wet months. Were you up here in the wet months?
No.
Yes. Were you up here in November and December, which your own document...
Yes, this year.
Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's that.
Okay, so my builder came up. So a truck comes up, and since a truck came up, there's damage. Is that what you're saying? Just because a truck came up...
If trucks come up during the wet months, there will be damage. And that's the 10-year aggregate.
If I may, this is from the same letter. The property owner's election of doing construction during the wet months, defined as November 1st through April 30th, will require extra vigilance for both the association and the property owner. Mm-hmm. The presence of snow cover on or snowbanks along the roadside are generally accepted indications of a saturated roadbed, or following heavy rains, the roadbed may be temporarily saturated. Rutting or other road destruction to the association's right-of-way or culverts caused by the property owner's contractor or contractor's heavy equipment must be immediately repaired to as good or better condition and in no way hinder or obstruct through traffic by subdivision residents. Property owner must report to any member of the board any damage to association property within 24 hours. Violation of this rule may cause the association to make repairs and backcharge the responsible property owner or keep all or a portion of the property owner's refundable deposit.
And how am I supposed to do that in which document?
That's up to you.
Okay. Well, let's go back to your letter.
We're going to wrap up, Dave. If you're going to share anything different, we'll hear that. Otherwise, we'll close the hearing because I think we know where we differ. And it is...
Well, yes, we differ because you're not following the contract. I'm responsible for damage from my building.
The right of way.
Right.
You just heard him read it. That's
I have damage, but you have never shown me what damage my builder did.
Because
just because a truck came up does not show that my builder did damage.
Well, that's
the way the court of law is going to see it.
We'll see, because the aggregate demonstrates
I
for
do
us.
Not care about your aggregate.
But you have to.
No, I don't.
Okay.
How is that my responsibility of what his truck did?
Your
truck, why is that my responsibility?
Your truck is responsible for what they did.
But what did my truck do?
Contributed to that damage.
How?
By driving up in November and December.
By driving up in November and December, that caused damage.
When it's muddy and wet.
The conditions he just described on the road are the conditions
builds,
he drove up.
So if basically anybody builds or has a construction site going during the winter, you're going to take that $3,000.
Actually, it's changed that the...
Right, because nobody's going to build a house anymore that they've got to come in. They build another $14,000 to the association just to build a house.
It only went up actually by 10
because
it was 6 before, and here's the rationale. It's in the policy if you read it.
Right.
That the typical time frame to complete a house is 2 years. What we had in place was $3,000 impact fee for a 2-year period.
Actually, it's a $1,000 impact fee. I paid $4,000,
and the $3,000
$1,000 was given to the board for what? What is that $1,000 for?
Impact.
On the roadway.
Everything.
No,
everything.
It says on the roadway.
Okay.
So I paid $1,000 already for impact on the roadway. And my truck's coming up but you can't tell me any damage. You did not give me a chance to rectify the damage. You did not give me a chance to call my builder and say, please go fix this damage. Which is what your...
I just took pictures of the rutted road. Your rutted road just last week.
Right.
And I took pictures of a work truck on your road.
Not my work truck.
Ago.
I don't care about it. It's not my work truck.
It's a work truck.
I don't care, lady. I'm not responsible.
On your property?
I am not responsible for anybody else's work truck. I'm responsible for the damage done by my work truck.
I drove on your road up to do an inspection on your house, and I couldn't get up the driveway. My car was sliding all over the place, and I had
my driveway.
Yes, I could not go up the driveway. The road was so slick. I was doing fishtails.
On my driveway.
I could not drive up your driveway. I drove past it because the road. This was when it was under construction in the winter.
When?
Okay. I can look back in my phone.
Please do.
Not right now.
But no, you just made a
But
comment.
I will tell you, I was on that road. I was fishtailing. I went up. And I will also tell you that half the people that live on that road use our road instead of your road because the road is in such bad condition.
You're right. It is in bad condition.
In the winter.
Right now, but it's
always.
Not because of
all
the
winter. Pressure. This took place last winter.
So here's basically, you've laid out your case. We appreciate that. In my mind, here's where we differ. You're looking for specificity that we don't base this decision on because of the past history of the damage to the roads.
Okay.
So that's our position.
Hold on, no.
I have to cut you off, please.
No, I have a right to hear a hearing.
You have had a hearing.
This is not a hearing. This is an open session in front of a crowd.
Well, what were you expecting for a public hearing?
All right, this is a public hearing. This is what you want to
What call. Were you expecting? So
if I have a house over here, as I know the goat house, and I see people leaving, driving down the road, I can't stop them and say, you have goat in your car. I have to have reason, I have to have proof, I have to have evidence.
We got
you
that.
Have given me no evidence. What you're doing is saying, well, you might have had trucks up there, therefore those trucks caused damage, therefore we're going to charge you for it. That's what you're saying.
We're saying you came up. Here's what we're saying. You came up in November and December by your own records. During that time, damage was impacting
our roads. Construction
our roads.
How many roads were
the road system. Okay. And that's the reason. How many were under construction? The number of people who are included here. We don't have the manpower or the resources with a four-member volunteer board to go out and...
That's not my problem.
And yours aren't...
Okay. You will be... You will monitor the ARC compliance and construction request list here.
And you will report any... And you will report
no,
any...
No, you will monitor.
Tom just read. The homeowner will report.
Within 24 hours, was it?
So...
Are you done?
Yes.
So they're going to have to sit down.
Yeah.
They're done.
Let that sink in for a minute. So now what we have, just to kind of summarize this, is we have three different builders. I think there's three, or lot owners, maybe four. Yes, four lot owners who built over the last 24 months and were up during the wet months of November through April. Some, as you've heard tonight, have provided repairs for those problems that were in front of their property. Henner's also shared that apparently he had his builder spread salt. We have a roads committee. We have people who work with our roads vendor. We weren't aware of any other salt trucks or anything like that happening on our property. So if an individual lot owner was commissioning their builder to do that, they didn't notify us of that. We didn't know what you were doing, so we don't have any, that can't really play into our decision, although salting is typically to try to help a little bit with the slippery ice. It does nothing for the ruts. And so, again, as I said, if you look at the past history of our road damage that happens during construction, we're not going to be able to go around and identify every individual lot owner, builder, when there's multiple going on all at once, which is why, and it is illegal, and it is legal and appropriate to make this decision based on aggregate data for the very reason I just explained, that the practical nature of trying to monitor individuals like that is beyond the capacity of the HOA. So what we're trying to do is, and this is what the new adjustment in the policy says, is there is now a new upfront, based on the idea that a home takes 2 years to be constructed, $5,000 per year or $10,000 non-refundable impact fee. And maybe we're crossing over to a new chapter in our HOA, but when we went through that record-setting winter and we had that much damage to the roads, you all sitting here drove through that. We knew how deep those 10-inch ruts were. That all fell on us to repair. So what the new policy says is we try to shift as much of that as possible to the lot owner who's the most beneficial, the beneficiary of that, and that's the person who's choosing to build the home. And now we're going to not have these arguments or fights in the future, which is why we put the kind of the surcharge right up front. And, you know, maybe no one else will build up here. That's not what we're trying to do. But we're not sure it'll be that big a deterrent because we have new ARC applications coming in now.
It's also not just about road. It's about flattening the crown and driving over and ruining the ditches, which carry the water during monsoons, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
There's a lot more to it than that.
So on any other discussion, board members?
Ahead, well, Tom. one of the pieces about the new policy was in an effort to also prevent the constant raising of dues, because we've raised the dues every year because we're trying to fix the roads each year, and we're trying to fix the roads based on weather and development, and so that was a decision that was made to, okay, if we get the money up front this way, we're offsetting and we may not have to raise dues to fix our roads.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. all of those things have factored in. And we knew this was going to be a difficult pill to swallow because, to my knowledge, we haven't had to do this before. Whether that's because we had the drought years and the roads weren't damaged that badly, or we just didn't do it. And so we knew this was going to be a tough pill to swallow. We don't like doing it either. But the other factor that we had to embed into our decision making was the overrun on the roads budget. And we felt like the most fair decision to make, absent being able to channel every individual lot owner who was building at the same time, would be to use the aggregate and apply whatever decision we were going to make equally and fairly to everybody who was in that same situation. So on item C under action items, is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries. Okay, the next action item. There was an additional complaint that came in on excessive barking dogs. No, yeah, that's the last one.
Yeah, how about me?
The illegal parking and road blockage. This was a second rules violation. And so the association has contacted the owner whose builder is working on that property. Again, this is an owner who lives out of state. They're building a home to move into. He was appreciative of being notified. He hadn't stayed in that close of contact with his builder. And when we outlined for him the problems, he's been, pretty conciliatory and doesn't want to do anything that's incorrect. And I got an email from him as recent as this morning that he's met with his builder and he confessed, I didn't read the CC&Rs and the things that I should have read in the beginning. So he took some responsibility for that. And so we've applied the same penalty for him on the second violation. And so we need a motion to approve that.
So move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. And then finally, the barking dog nuisance. This is a continuing violation. Started last November with a new homeowner and concerns from multiple neighbors around them about the dogs barking pretty consistently throughout the day, outside, in the evening. And so we did the warning letter. We first went and visited. We did the warning letter. Then we went back again and offered to do some good neighbor strategies, have a volunteer neighbor who would come over and walk the dogs during the day while he was out, just to be able to get them out of the garage, etc. We had the sheriff come up on three occasions. The deputy that came up wasn't able to cite the first time because the dogs weren't actually barking when she came. So we collected a few more complaints over some time and we stacked them in front of her again. She came up the third time and issued him a citation. So he's notified the board that he intends to fight that. And so whether or not he wants to go to court over that citation, we'll see. But we've got multiple homeowners now who have signed their complaints and are willing to come forward and provide any evidence or testimony if necessary. And we also have the email communications and the text between the property owner and the neighbors. So the last one is to levy the fine. This will be the first fine, and it's for the continuing nuisance of barking dogs. And I just need a motion if we want to approve that one.
I move we approve the nuisance, barking dogs nuisance. Fine.
Second.
Tom seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Okay. Committee reports to the board. Fire.
All right. We had our first fire safety meeting this year yesterday. We're getting back to work on the wildfire preparedness plan. We're also working on the grants. According to the website, I can't remember the website name, but we are basically at a higher risk of fire than 100% of the communities in Utah.
Wow.
So that puts us kind of at the top of the list. So we're doing our due diligence in getting the necessary work put in. One of the things that's been a hiccup in trying to get this process going is a physical address that they can use for our community. So we've bounced around some ideas because we can't use the 333 North Main Post Office. They don't recognize that. We can't obviously use any homeowners' addresses. So we're going to look at possibly using the UPS store as one. Also, another organization within Cedar. I just need to make contact and see if we can do that to see if we can use either of those as the HOA's address so then we can get formal communication back and forth with the government entities. But that's where things stand right now. We're going to dig deeper into it next month. We have set up recurring meetings for the Wednesday before every HOA meeting this year. So that's the update on fire and safety.
Okay. Lori's not here tonight, but I am the alternate board member on the roads committee. She and I had an opportunity to talk today, so she gave me some points to make sure that we share in an update. Roads committee has met, and most recently is working to got the committee members going out on rides around the community. Each committee member is going to make a little list of areas of damage or repair that they see and get some pictures. They're going to bring all of that information back together as a roads committee. And then going forward, as we get ready to prepare for summer and fall repairs, they're going to put all of the issues on a little board, and they've got a little scoring system that they're going to use to weight those. Everybody's going to get a chance to prioritize. And then from that prioritized list, we're going to be able to take our budget and see how much of those road projects we can get finished over the course of this summer and fall. So that's one thing that the Roads Committee has been doing, is gathering that information, getting ready for summer, fall repairs.
If I may, really quick, on please. That, I know that obviously rutting and potholes and things like that seem to be high on the list, but we also are going to be weighing out drainage and where the water is going to be flowing come monsoon season and during the melt and things like that to make sure that those areas are addressed at a high priority as well. So
yeah, we have culverts that still need to be cleaned out and culverts that need to be reconfigured. So that's all part of it. The other thing that the Roads Committee is working on is, and you guys tell me if this is the right term, is it the loafing shed?
Yes.
Okay. So there has been a request from our vendor to consider, the HOA, to consider investing in a small, what they call a loafing shed. It's a little kind of a...
three-sided.
Yeah,
three-sided,
you pull in, it's got a little cover over it, but it's to store the sand that you see piled at the bottom of the hill right now when you come up by the trash bin. When that stuff gets wet, it's incredibly difficult for them to get in there and get that loaded and spread and so on. So the one recommendation our roads vendor is making to us is that we consider that. So they're looking, the Roads Committee is also looking into pricing for that possible location. You know, that property where we pile our sand right now isn't ours. So we might have to work with the city if that's the best place to put something like that. We might have to put it in so that it's removable since that's not our property. But or we can look for a spot in our common areas where it might still work for them.
And the tarp works until there's a whole lot of snow on top of the tarp. And then they've got to pull the tarp back to access the gravel.
Mm-hmm. So those are the two, and just the day-to-day management of the roads. I know I got an email yesterday asking why we decided to come through and blow yesterday. And it was a tough call. It didn't look like there was going to be that much snow. And then in the middle of the day, there was a pretty heavy flurry. We also know that today was the day of the regular monthly board meeting. We've heard from community members in the past that they really want us to keep the road clear so that they can make it down to the meetings. We had that to consider. So we didn't end up scraping after all. We just sanded. And that saved us a little bit of money. I think it turned out to be the right decision. And so we got sand down last night, and we got sand down again this morning, and the snow's melted, and the main road's pretty good. And we only worked on the main road. We didn't come through the entire system yesterday. And it looks like we made about as good a decision as we could make. So that's the update on Roads Committee. ARC. I'll review, Patty, and are there any new applications or just an update?
Everything is the same as it was last month, with the exception of we have two new applications. One is for construction of some sunshades on the house that are going to be done by somebody from a construction company off-site, so off the mountain. So they have actually submitted their application for these shade covers. They've given the fees, and the deposit has been paid. And I'd like to go ahead and ask for a motion to move that forward.
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
And then the other application is a new build, and we are actually... we have received the impact fee and the $5,000 impact fee, and the non-refundable $10,000 deposit has been paid. It still needs to have portable restroom trash put in place, and we have some color issues that we're working out. And I think we're going to be able to make that decision right away. Okay. I have the SECO chart to do that.
Right.
And they've given us four different colors that they would be happy with, and so we're going to choose within those four colors.
So it's not ready for approval yet?
That one's pending.
And yes, it is pending.
And then if it fits within our next 30 days, we'll deal with it at the April meeting. Okay. If not, that'd be one that we try to expedite.
Okay. Cool.
Everything else good?
We can look at the color, and we can select it after the meeting if you'd like, or we'll just do it.
Well, it would be your ARC committee.
Okay.
CCNR and bylaws, again, are dormant for now. The committee is. This isn't the year that we're going to undertake revision of the CCR bylaws. And so no report there. The last one is our Iron County Water Conservancy District Partnership and the Water Tank and Fire Hydrant Agreement. We have our administrative officer under the vice president. That's Greg Pierce and Lori, who both attended... actually arranged and attended the first meeting with the Water Conservancy yesterday. So I'd like to make a motion that we open the floor and allow Greg Pierce to give us that report and update on the meeting.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, Greg.
Laura couldn't be here because she's not feeling well, so I'm just going to read to you the report that I gave to her as a result of the meeting. And that way you're as informed as anybody on the board is informed. And it'll, of course, be written into the minutes. But the notes are for the meeting with Ensign Engineering, and it's relative to the Meadow Tank and 20 to 22 fire hydrants. Attendees were Lori, myself, and Curtis Nielsen. He's our point of contact, which was arranged by the president of the board through Paul Monroe to give us a working point of contact. Point of contact for Paul Monroe is the president of the board, Stan Curzo, so we're not going to get in between those two people. We're going to be at the working level. So since my previous conversation with Curtis, the United States Department of Agriculture funding and low-interest loans have all been secured for all projects. The environmental reviews and requirements, which we were concerned about, have all been met. Three of the projects are part of the overall USDA grant and loan program, and ours was termed the fourth project. It's just some stuff downtown that has no impact on us. Curtis related to us that the number of fire hydrants currently talked about relative to our project is 20. He suggested if it isn't correct, from our perspective, we would need to interact with Paul Monroe for clarification and or changes. We agreed and informed Curtis that our point of contact with Mr. Monroe is Stan Carasosa, our board president, and that Stan would be informed about the need for clarification. Construction for our HOA project would have multiple 3 to 4 issued contracts. We refer to the three aspects of the project as the construction of the tank upon the Meadow site, already clarified by the signed and verified water agreement, connection of the tank to our existing water system serving HOA, and the third is the installation of the fire hydrants themselves. There is no required sequence of the three listed above. You can do any of the three at any time you want to. Warmer weather will be needed for all the construction to begin, and we generally agree that May might be when the conditions would work for initiation of construction. Between now and initial construction, bidding and contracting are the first steps required. He assured Lori and I that we would be informed of RFP, that's request for proposal, generation responses received, and pre-qualification meetings for the evaluation of experience and ability. That's how they do it. Associated with each of the three aspects of our project listed above, May is also the target date to have the project developed to the point where the Iron County Commission can act during that month's regular meeting. So we're trying to hit that May meeting. Lori pointed out to Curtis that the exclusive use of Right Hand Canyon Road should be the goal for all contractors, machinery, etc., and Curtis agreed to insert clauses in the mobilization portions of each contract and agreement to further that end. Curtis also related that film and documentation will be gathered early so that only any disturbance of our environment can be rectified as per the water agreement and standard business practices. The connection between the tank and the in-place water system will require trenching and would be routed along the eastern side of the current access route. Individuals who choose to access their properties constructed on the Meadow Common area might be impacted, but Curtis understood that it should be kept to an absolute minimum. We agreed to all maintain contact with each other as the process moves forward, and we'll relate to communications and appropriate information to the HOA board during regularly scheduled meetings, during committee reports, and submitted to Lori Silva, HOA Board Secretary and Board Representative to the Water Committee, by myself, the AO.
Very good. Any questions? Thanks, Greg.
I will take any questions the board wants.
The question I had was about Right Hand Canyon, but it's already been addressed, so
yeah,
that's good. That's
that.
Good news.
Is it assumed then, Greg, if Right Hand Canyon would be their only access, that they'll work during all of the right months, right? Because
yeah.
You can't get up there otherwise. So
I don't think we're going to have any problem with them because as soon as it gets cold, they don't. Really
they're not going to be up there anyway. Yeah,
freezing water, that sort of thing.
It happens. All right, great. Thank you, Greg. All right, let's close in on this. The last section here is our information items, and we do have tonight four information out for first opportunity for community members to review a proposal for a policy that governs our fall roads repair and maintenance. And in short, it says that, and we're trying to learn, as you can see from just the tension and exchanges tonight over this difficult issue, we're trying to learn from the impact of the 2022 winter, which I think taught all of us a pretty good lesson going over our budget, $37,000, that we have to start adjusting a little bit in all areas of our association, particularly when it comes to taking care of the roads. I've had a number of calls and emails that have said, the highest three priorities for our HOA are the roads, and the roads. And I know there's other aspects for sure, but that's what most people are really concerned about. So last year when we had the snafu, I'll call it that, when we went in August to do our road repairs for the summer and fall, we made a decision to do it prior to monsoon season. And when the monsoons came, they washed it all away. So that was we were not only over budget, but then we lost that as well. So the new policy says that the roads committee, as we shared this evening, will do a process to assess the highest priorities for repair on the roads. They'll prioritize that. They'll bring it to the board, and then the board will approve as much as possible in that list with the budget money that we have. The other stipulation in the policy is that anything that we do on the roads that involves bringing in new dirt and crowning and compounding and that kind of thing, that the roads committee should be giving extreme consideration to the monsoon season. and for the most part, not embark on those kinds of changes, those kinds of repairs, until after our monsoon season has passed. There's culvert work, and I'm looking at Rick because he helps us with all this, but there's other stuff we can be doing in the summer that isn't going to be affected by the monsoons. And so we're going to prioritize, and then we're going to put them on a little calendar. This is what we can do that monsoons won't affect, and here's what we do after monsoons so we don't lose our dirt and our money again. Now we're putting it into policy. So if you'd like to look at that, especially if you've ever served on the Roads Committee or you have an interest, it'll be posted online. It's online right now under our draft table, and it'll be there for the next 30 days. And that's what our CCNRs require, that there be a grace period for the community members to read it and provide input and response back to the board. If there's input and response that we get back that results in changes, then the second time we bring it before the board, it'll have those revisions included, and that would be a second and final reading to enact the policy. So it'd be not, the reason we're working on it early is because the policy's got to be in place, and then we've got to wait 72 hours to implement. We wanted to get it all done so that it's in place before this Roads Committee does their prioritization. So we're ready to spend money this summer in accordance with the plan and a timeline. And that should go a long way to helping us do a good job on the roads in the summer. All right. Beehive Communications.
All right.
Yeah, go ahead. You can chat about it, or I can. Either one.
Go ahead, Tom. We had a meeting, and Tom will give you a quick update.
Yeah, we had a meeting with Beehive. As you all know, there's an eyesore on our mountain. It's this little concrete old shack that isn't in the best state of repair. And Linford's been trying to work with Beehive for a while to get this thing removed because it is between the road easement and his property. We've had some disconnect. Last year I tried calling them because according to their website they have fiber up there, but none of us have fiber. So we had a meeting with them to discuss this, and they are currently working on a proposal right now to move the equipment in that shack, to get rid of that shack completely, and actually get fiber run to the homeowners that want it. Fiber internet up to a gig up and down as far as speed goes. There is work that needs to be done both on the behalf of the HOA board and them in collaboration to make sure this will work. We do have common area up around that, near where that shack is. The challenge is, can they get their equipment to that common area safely and then run it to the homeowners? And so that's what we're going to be working on in the meantime. This could be a very good thing for us, for those that want fiber optic internet service that is going to be much more stable than a dish or satellite or something like that. Well, I mean, that's one of the same, but that's kind of where we are. Excellent meeting with them. They had their construction people as well as their technical people to answer any questions we had. We have opened communication and collaboration with them, so this so far is looking very positive.
Okay, the other thing I think that's important, because a couple of members have expressed some excitement about this, if Beehive follows through and we work this out with them, is that it'll not only provide higher speed internet, but their conduit will carry coaxial, so they'll be able to deliver cable television, if that's what people want, in lieu of what we have to do right now, which are the dishes.
Yep.
So that's in progress. Yeah, that's in progress. Nothing, no commitments have been made yet, but the research is going on. A common area location has been identified, and now we just need to figure out if they can get to it and what it'll take for them to do that. And we certainly want to keep in mind Limford's concerns for all of us, that they're not trespassing or doing anything they shouldn't be doing in the course of the project. Okay, community sign update.
Steve and I put the signs together, handed them off to Steve Danto, and he's working on the finish. And that's where we are.
Very good. Thanks, you guys. In other correspondence and board member comments, anything else you guys want to share? I know that we did set a goal to have all of our 100% of our dues collected within the first 30 days, which is the complimentary grace period, so no one would have to accumulate interest or anything like that. And we implemented some strategies, including an official announcement that you've got the next 30 days, and now since then have sent out one reminder, and there will be one additional reminder when we get down to 5 days. But here's the good news, you guys. We have over 130 dues paid already. So we're looking good. We haven't given up yet. We've got 10 days left, and we want to try to make 100%. So we think this is the right year to work hard on that because we had the budget deficit. And making sure we get all our dues in will tell us how much more we have to cut somewhere else to fill that hole. So we'll know that in the next, you know, couple of weeks.
Now, one bit to follow up on. I know all of you have gotten the text reminders, okay? Because there we have one texting system. That texting system takes care of road updates, dues updates, HOA meeting updates. We don't have multiple systems. So we send out texts to everyone. The very first one, we got some feedback saying, I've already paid mine, why am I getting this? So then we added the, if you have paid, there is no action required. That will also come when the date when the dues are 5 days from being due, when the grace period is over. I'm just letting you all know that that is what's coming. So if you have any questions about the texting system, feel free to reach out to me. I'm happy to answer them. But man, we have one system that does all of that. We don't have multiple areas that we can, you know, add people, remove people. It's either we all get them or nobody gets them. So.
Or you get, another way to say that is because we have one mass text process, protocol, we don't have personalized communication accounts.
Right.
So we can't pull you off if you don't want this message, but then put you back on if you want the other message. And I think the reason we're saying this here now in public is because to be on the mass text list at least affords you the opportunity to get emergency and road updates. If you tell us you don't want to be on that mass text list, I apologize, but we don't have another mechanism to give you personalized texts based on the subject or the topic. So it may not be ideal. I know people get irritated sometimes if they get the reminder, but I've already paid. Well, I hit delete. You know, but I know for some people that's a stressor, and we're not trying to do that. But we're trying to, you know, achieve the 30 day goal of collecting all of our resources. So if you have, I don't know if how many in here, but if you have requested to be removed from the mass text list, know now that that would include all texts. So if you would like to get back on, we would love to put you back on, but you'll have to make your peace with the fact that you might get some reminders that you have to delete if you've already taken care of your business. Well, I think we've had all the fun here we can have tonight. Any other comments from the board? Anything else before we consider adjourned?
No, sir.
All right. Then of the March 14th meeting, our next regular meeting is April 11th here at 6 p.m. And this meeting tonight is adjourned. Oh,